I did share last night, if you weren't here, something of my background. An alcoholic for years in newspaper business, then in the music business, and never thought of God, never thought of Christianity, until really I came to the end of myself. That's a place where the Bible says we all have to come to, when we realized that there was more to life than this. And there is a God, and there is life after death. The Bible says there is a heaven, there is a hell. And I came to that realization that, I needed to get right with God. Now, I did say last night that not everybody is an alcoholic, but everybody has fallen short of God's standard and needs to be made brand new. Am I in the way? Yeah. Am I okay? Don't feel it. As it's a family service, what I want to do just to share the same message, the Bible message, in a visual way. And I don't know if this is working, I'll give it a try. Yep. And really, the subject is the desire to be great. And I do feel that everyone has that desire within them. If we're honest people, and I hope we are, there is that desire for recognition. Isn't that right? To think that you and I are just going to live for a few years and then be forgotten, that haunts us. And I believe, in a sense, it's a God-given desire that we have. And God has planted within us some desire for recognition. And, well, it's easy if you want to be famous, isn't it? Because there are all kinds of things set up in our day to give you instant success. Years ago, someone spoke about sort of trying to get our 15 minutes of fame. Is that all we have? But there's all kinds of ways that we can sort of make ourselves famous. And, all kinds of helpful or unhelpful characters. But what about you? I mean, are you an honest person? Do you have that desire within you to just have everyone stand up and applaud you? Now, I'm not asking you to confess your sins here. But I suppose it was that getting lost in the crowd syndrome. Of all the millions of people in the world, who are you? Just, these few years that we're on this earth. And all the millions of people, does it matter whether you live or whether you die? And any honest person, they ask certain questions in their quieter moments. I mean, who am I? Do you ever look in the mirror? And I say, who is that person looking back at me? You know, this sense of identity. Why am I here? What's the purpose of it all? You might be a mother, you might be a father, you might be a citizen of the country, or I don't know. But and then that third thing is, well, where are we going when we die? I read an article in the Times a little while back, Nicole Kidman. Nicole Kidman, the movie star, she can get about, I don't know, $15 million. For every movie that she makes. And yet she really let the mask slip. And she said, I don't know who I am, or what I am, or where I'm headed for. That was quite honest. And I think any honest person asks those questions. Who am I and all the millions of people in the world? Does it really matter? Well, I want to be someone. That is that sort of cry within. And we do live in this celebrity culture, don't we? You might recognize one or two of these people here. Let me just put them up quick. If you don't recognize them, you're getting old. I wonder if you could have, how many of those names, but they'll do anything, you know, just to get famous. And so TV knows this. TV taps into all these reality shows. And isn't it sad? I mean, sometimes I'm standing in the supermarket. I'm not only out to buy one of these things, but it's OK Magazine and Hello Magazine. Isn't there something perverse about human nature? That we love to put people on pedestals and then delight in knocking them down. Poor old Britney Spears. What a poor, needy character she is. And so we live in this celebrity culture. We're so fascinated by the lives of these poor, shallow people, aren't we? Let's be honest now. And there is something rotten in us that wants to sort of put them up and then knock them down. Shout out some of these characters here I got up. Who's a chap with the football? What about you young people here? I don't know how. Can you recognise anyone there? Probably. Yes, do you recognise anyone? You probably can't see from there, can you? Pardon? Posh Spice, yeah? Anybody else there? Pete Doherty? Who's Pete Doherty? Footballer? Struggling musician. Poor, but I pray for that man, you know. Really needs the Lord, doesn't he? And his girlfriend? Kate Moss? Yeah, anybody else there? Who's the young lady with the rather large mouth there? Jane Goody. I mean, what do I do? I'm making fun of her, and I see what I'm like. Okay, so, you know, Gareth Gates. I think, who's the girl on the right? Did she win the X Factor? Yeah, who's the politician-looking woman down here? Carol Thatcher, yeah, Margaret Thatcher. But, you know, but isn't it strange? You know, there is this strange desire just to do anything to get recognised. And here's a verse in the Bible that says, God has set eternity in the hearts of men. I believe this is why we have that desire. That we know that there's more to life than this. And the fact that we're going to live a few years and then be no more. No wonder death is unnatural. Death is a robber. And so there is that longing just to be recognised and to be something. And God has made us to be something. The Bible says we're made in God's image. In other words, there's an eternity about us. Even a creativity. Fellowship with God. That's what it's about. But certainly my struggling years. Why did I drink so much? I didn't know. Looking back now, I do know. People used to look at me, why? What's wrong with Mike? He's got a lovely wife and kids. You know, he's earning lots of money. But you see, we were made for a relationship with God. We can't begin to function until we come into that relationship with the one who made the sun, the moon, the stars. We were created for God. It's great to be loved, isn't it? If you've got someone that loves you, that's wonderful. You can't function physically unless you're really loved. And we can't function spiritually unless we're loved. Often people speak about that hole, that void inside of us, that God-shaped hole that only God can fill. You can try and throw drink and drugs and sex and money, try and fill that void with all kinds of things, but there's still something missing. That's the problem. The Bible says quite simply that there is a great gulf between God and ourselves. And people laugh at that word, sin. But you know, that's the dreadful thing that comes between God and ourselves. Between God and us. Between true peace and us. I put a wall in there, but it's a barrier. The Bible says it's like a cloud. Our sin has come between God and ourselves. And going to church doesn't do it. Giving to charity doesn't do it. Only by Jesus Christ can we come to have that barrier removed. That's God's solution. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. We Christians often use that expression, the cross. But what does it mean? A bit of wood? It doesn't mean a bit of wood. It means the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Seems a strange phrase to use, doesn't it? That's what I struggled with. How can a person who lived 2,000 years ago have any relevance to me? But I shared last night on September the 8th, 1979, got down on my knees, and I simply believed God. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And I didn't want religion. I wanted reality. I wanted joy. I wanted life. And I'm a very, if my wife was here, she probably told you yesterday, some of you, but I was a very, I don't know, the kind of person that wanted excitement all the time, wanted new things. For 28 years, the love of Jesus Christ has satisfied me. All those longings that people have in their hearts, only Jesus can keep it fresh. He speaks about rivers of living water. There's a freshness that God can pour into our lives day after day. That's what Pete Doherty needs. Doesn't know it. He needs God. Don't you want excitement? Who wants to be bored? You know, and that's what we're looking for. And drink and drugs, it just doesn't do it. It's that a relationship with God. And I enjoy doing this, actually. Even if you're bored with it, I had great fun putting this together. Simple minds, you know. But it's about the cross factor. It's not the X factor. It's the cross factor. is that Jesus Christ, he's the one who by his death on the cross and by his resurrection can bring us life. But what a difference between the life of Jesus Christ and our celebrities. The prophet Isaiah, over 700 years before Jesus was born, described Christ. Celebrity, we're told he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He wasn't flashy, he wasn't ostentatious. He was despised and rejected by men. Isn't God's way strange? He sent his only beloved son into the world, into a little place to be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem? Born into poverty, born to poor parents, stuck in a cattle stall. Then he grew up in Nazareth. Nazareth? Does anything good come out of Nazareth? What's today's equivalent? What's the most... Anyone from Birmingham here? If so, it's somewhere else. But you know, but what's the kind of, oh, they're from, well, there are a few, right, yeah. From Bournemouth. You know, but I don't know, but oh, does anything good come out of Nazareth, you know? But there was everything about Jesus was designed to put people off. And yet there was a beauty about him. And when I was changed on that day, I saw, as it were, by faith, the beauty of Jesus. And there is a beauty in Jesus. Because it's his character. He's love and grace. Grace and truth might read out. There is something in Jesus that draws out our hearts. He's the most beautiful person. And that's why, you know, I often offer Gospels of John or a Gospel to read. Look at the life of Jesus. There is an amazing beauty that captivates our hearts. God is everything we hope he would be. And that's what you see in Jesus Christ. An amazing person who actually loved us and died for us. I don't know if I got any more then. Yep. The gospel in a nutshell is God so loved the world. That means you and me. He gave his one and only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that's what, again, I'm offering this morning. I offered it last night. But to you this morning, Jesus Christ says, I'm going to give you, if you repent of your sin, if you come to me, I'll give you eternal life. Isn't that incredible? So I'm going to close now, but maybe this morning you will respond to Jesus. And you will say, God, forgive me. Forgive me my sin. I mean, how will you carry on? What will you do with your life? What will you become? What's the best it's going to get? What is the best? I mean, I wouldn't become prime minister. I wouldn't swap this for anything. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be the most famous. And what does it matter if the whole world were to stand up and applaud you, fall down at your feet and worship you? Because they'll all be dead soon. In my mind, I had this vivid image of Freddie Mercury. I remember seeing, it was so sort of two images. He was playing Wembley Stadium. Thousands of adoring fans. And then I have that next image of his poor body being stuck in a coffin. And he was put in an ordinary hearse and went to a funeral service. What does it matter? A few years of fame and money. And then the judgment of God. We're going to stand before God and account for our lives. Every sin will be brought up. Oh boy, I'm glad my sins... If you knew what I was like, you wouldn't even bother listening to me. But I'm a forgiven sinner. Sounds a cop-out, doesn't it? But we all break down into two groups here this morning, either a forgiven sinner or an unforgiven sinner. Some are going to heaven, some are going to hell. The only difference is if we've trusted in Christ. Well, maybe this morning you'll say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. What's the difference? It's the cross factor. It's the cross that decides whether we go to heaven or to hell. Should we pray now? Father in heaven, you know us. You know the very worst about us and yet have declared your love for us in such staggering ways. by sending your son into the world, born of a virgin, born into poverty, and yet born that we might have forgiveness, dying on a cross, raised in power, now ascended into heaven. And we do pray, Lord, that each and every one of us here today might realize how short our lives are and how we need that forgiveness that comes from the cross and to be made children of God. What a status that each one of us can be brought from death to life and be adopted into the family of God, that we might call you our Father who is in heaven. Lord, hear us today, we pray, and may each one of us know what it is to belong to God, to have fellowship with God. Amen.